Get a deeper connection with the Cougars of BYU Sports.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until he takes it away.
Deep Blue.
Just sitting down afterward and being really tired and thinking like, wow, I just won the U.S. championship.
This is Deep Blue. Here's your host, Jason Shepherd.
Thanks for tuning in for a new episode of Deep Blue. This is the show where we get to know the person behind the number that you see on the field or the court. These are the true stories of BYU athletes from their own mouths. My guest today is BYU basketball's own Spencer Johnson. Hi, Spencer. How are you?
So good.
I'm glad that you came in, and I'm going to hit you with the tough question right out of the gate.
Okay.
We're going to dive right into this. What does it feel like to be college basketball's oldest player? First of all, did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. All the guys texted me about it the morning that it came out. They sent it over. They're like, hey, dude, congrats. I was like, for what? They go, you're the oldest player in college basketball. And I actually delved into it. So there's a dude that plays for Memphis. He's a year older than me, mm-hmm. but he needs a waiver to play.
Ah.
So if he doesn't get his waiver, I will be the
okay,
oldest.
So will you be disappointed if he gets his waiver? Not because he gets his waiver, but because then he would become the oldest player? Are you going to wear this like a badge of honor?
I don't know. You might as well.
Yeah, might as well.
There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. So look, Spencer, there's probably not a great transition to this topic, but especially based off of what we were just talking about. But you're going to be a dad pretty soon.
Yeah.
How are you and your wife handling the soon-to-be life-changing experience of being parents?
We're excited. We're super excited. The interesting thing is, so our baby is slated to come in February, mm-hmm. which is like the busiest time of the year for basketball, right? So there is a small chance that we could be in Kansas or we could be somewhere else that I might not be there. But hopefully everything goes good and I'll get to be there.
So have you guys already had the talk that if the baby is coming and you're on the road, that you will stay and play, or if you'll come back? Has that conversation been had?
It has not. We're still working on it.
Oh, and your wife is actually in the room.
She's here.
You just gave her a look. She's now smiling. So I'm really curious as to what that conversation is going to be like.
We'll see. I guess we're having it right after this.
Okay, yeah, going to have that conversation right after this. Honestly, though, what's... I have four kids, so I've been through this, so I certainly know. What do you look forward to about being a dad?
Man, what do you not look forward to? I'm super excited. I think, talking to all my friends that have had kids, they're like, hey, I don't know if you're ever like ready to be a dad, but when your kid gets here, it's like the best thing you could ever do, the most fulfilling. I was actually talking to Jerem Jordan,
mm-hmm.
as we were coming home from Kansas City at the media day. We were sitting in the airport and he was talking to me. He's like, man, I'm so excited for you to be a dad. And he's like, when I had my first kid, he's like, I understood God a little bit better about just like the love that you have for this kid and just this next level of happiness that you have. And he's like, it's the best.
We will get into your family history coming up in a minute, but how has your relationship with your dad, how do you hope that influences your relationship? And it's a little boy, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so how do you hope that affects your relationship with your son?
Well, my relationship with my dad is really good. We're really good friends. He's always been there for me and supported me, and I just hope that I can take the things that he's taught me and just be able to roll that into being, you know, hopefully as good of a dad that he was.
You've been married for a bit, so I wanted to ask you, and no pressure with your wife being in the room here, how has your wife been a support to you through this basketball journey that you're on?
She's been everything. The best, the number one supporter. It was funny, we were actually talking the other day about this, and I think it's rare where... basically, when I got here to BYU, we started dating we met that summer. So we started dating the first week of whenever school started. And so pretty much my whole basketball career in college, you know, minus the year I had at junior college, we've been together. you know, we were dating or we were engaged and then we've been married. So I think it's rare for you have your whole college career where you kind of, you get to see it through together, all the ups, all the downs, every game. And that's been pretty special. That's definitely something we hold dear.
Do you guys talk basketball when you're at home, or once practice is over or the game is over, the basketball is left at the door?
We talk basketball a lot.
So like obviously basketball fans. Do you guys like break down the game? Do you guys just talk basketball in general? What are those conversations like?
Yeah, we break down the game. We talk basketball. We talk strategy. Mostly it's me talking. She's listening, giving advice because she's so good at it. She's a psychology major and like she is the best. So
you've got a built-in sounding board there with somebody with that kind of a background,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. No, she's awesome. Her dad actually played here, so she's got a basketball background.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, let's. One of the cool things that athletics programs get a chance to do every 4 years is you get to take a foreign trip, mm-hmm. and you guys had your foreign trip where you traveled to Europe this summer. What was it like returning to Italy, yep. where you served your mission?
Yes.
That had to be pretty cool.
So cool. So it was the first time back for me since I got back off my mission. So the memories, like just everything came flooding back. Got to, you know, spend a day in Milan, which was incredible to see the places I walked around and attempted to teach people, right? we spent a day in Como, which... I ended up serving. I didn't serve in Como, but I was around there, so I'd end up there a lot. We went over to Venice, and I actually served in Venice for 6 months. So that was so cool to walk around Venice and be like, oh yeah, we taught a guy that lives here. We have some members that live over here. So that was really cool. We went out to Trieste, which is kind of by Slovenia, way out there, and then took a trip. Basically from the top of Croatia all the way down to the bottom. It was unbelievable.
Did you happen to run into anybody that either you taught or you knew as a missionary while you were there?
A couple people, yeah. So our first game there, we landed in Milan, and then we had a game that night. And I had a couple people, a couple members that I knew that came and watched the game. That was pretty special.
That's really cool. The other part about those trips, you do play some basketball while you're there. Mm-hmm. I mean, you do that, which you guys had a really cool experience that I want you to talk about in a second in terms of where you played. But this is all really, more than anything else, it's a team bonding experience. How did that aspect go for you guys?
Well, it was huge. So we had, last year we kind of had a young team. Like we had a bunch of new dudes and they came in and we were all trying to figure each other out. And then this year we added a couple new pieces, but for the most part, it was like basically the same team. Right. So it was really big to just kind of get to spend some time away from basketball, away from our little world in Provo and just like create these new experiences and just be out there together. So it was a really big, growing opportunity for us.
I mentioned it a second ago. If you look at the history of BYU basketball, one of the greatest players ever is Krešimir Ćosić, mm-hmm. and you had a chance to go and play at the arena in where he's from that's named after him.
Yes.
What was that experience like, knowing how much he meant to BYU basketball?
It was pretty cool. This guy had influenced so many people back in his home country. So we rolled up to his arena and there was like I don't even know how many people. There was a ton of people that were just out there to meet us, to talk to us, to talk about maybe an experience that they had with Krešimir or somehow he had influenced them or touched them. We met his daughter, his granddaughter, his like all of his extended family, right? And these people were like crying as they were telling us these stories. And it was like, I didn't know he was that big of a deal, you know?
Well, and not just as a BYU basketball player, but he's someone that ended up joining the church.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that he translated the Book of Mormon into his language.
Yes.
So you talk about a guy that made an imprint, not just on the basketball court for BYU, but in the gospel in that part of the country.
Yeah.
What a remarkable story and life he led.
That was incredible. I don't know how strong or how big the church is over there, but we ended up meeting the mission president and a bunch of the missionaries that were serving there. They came to our game and they kind of met a bunch of people. And because of the impact that Kresimir had joining the church and this influence that he had, the missionaries, they came to meet us, and then they ended up just talking to a bunch of people, and they're like, hey, this was like the biggest deal for us. Like, we have more discussions right now or talks with our friends than we've had in months. So, I mean, the effect that he had is still being felt.
Okay, did you learn anything about your teammates that maybe you didn't know before you went on the trip?
Yes. Jackson Robinson loves ice cream. Gelato, like biggest ice cream dude in the world. Foose hates pizza. I didn't know that.
Hates pizza. Not just won't eat it, hates it.
He doesn't like it. Yeah.
Has he given you any particular reason why he doesn't like pizza?
I don't know. He ate pizza. He ate a pizza the first night we were there. And then the next night, they brought us another pizza, right? Because
it's Italy.
You're in Italy.
If you're in Italy, yeah, and you don't like pizza, you may be in trouble.
You have to eat it while you're there. So they bring it out, and I remember he picks it up. He's like, kind of tosses it. He's like, where's the food? Where's the real food? He was not having it.
Oh, that's funny. One thing I did not know, maybe it's common knowledge to a lot of people, but as long as I've known you and as many times as you and I have talked, you actually grew up in Europe for a little bit. Is that,
yeah,
is that correct? Okay, I did not know that. How did your family end up over there?
Yeah, so it's an interesting story. When I was 12 and 13, I grew up my when I was born to 12, mm-hmm, in a little farm town, mm-hmm, in Eastern Oregon. And my dad was like, he always had this dream where he wanted to go travel Europe. And he got an opportunity to be like a school administrator, like a principal of an elementary school on an American military base in Germany. Mm-hmm. So he was like, hey, this is really cool. Like, we can go live in Europe. We can, you know, go to school over there at an American school, but we can travel all these countries, right? So I lived over there from 12 to 13, and I went to school on a military base, mm-hmm, but we lived in a little German town. And I swear, like, every weekend we were going to Paris, Barcelona, Rome, Frankfurt. Like, we were going everywhere, and it
was
so cool.
That's the stuff of dreams, man.
It was awesome.
Like, I've never been out of the United States, okay?
Yeah.
Except with about 30 miles into Mexico is about as far out okay of the United States as I've ever been. And those places seem like fairy tales because I've never, mm-hmm, been there. Did you enjoy that time? I've got to assume you did.
Oh, it was incredible. Yeah.
What role did sports play in your family growing up?
Huge. Big sports family. So my dad, he actually played basketball at Utah State.
Mm-hmm.
My mom, she played volleyball and basketball in high school. Could have played in college, but she was like, hey, I'm not going to do it. I want to move on or whatever. So they ended up meeting at Utah State. And we all just played. We played basketball. We played football, we played soccer.
Now, look, are you sort of viewed as the black sheep of the family because your siblings, Isaac, Gracie, both at Utah State playing basketball, and you're BYU? Like,
uh-huh.
The family, you were Aggies, right?
They were.
Do you get a hard time for that?
You know what? Utah State had their chance. They missed it, so I'm here at the better school.
Would you have played at Utah State had you been given the opportunity?
Probably, yeah. I mean, growing up, it was like, hey, you know, my dad played at Utah State. He was a big idol for me, and I was like, man, that would be so cool to play where he played. But it didn't work out, and thank goodness, like, this has been the best thing ever to be here at BYU.
All right, we're going to get into your playing career. Well, we're going to start in high school, but we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into your playing career and what brought you ultimately to BYU. You're listening to Deep Blue on BYU Radio. Welcome back to the Deep Blue Podcast. Jason Shepherd here, joined by Spencer Johnson from BYU Basketball. And before the break, we were talking about your playing career. We'll get ultimately to college, but I do want to start in high school. You played at American Fork, and you had an outstanding career. Mm-hmm. How do you look back on your high school career? What's anything stand out to you specifically?
I loved it. It was awesome. So I actually moved to American Fork as a sophomore. Mm-hmm. So I was their sophomore, junior, senior. And it was a great decision. Loved playing for Coach Meacham. Had some really great teammates, friends that, you know, I'm still keeping contact with. It was great.
When did you realize that you were good enough to play college?
Oh, man. I always thought I was good enough to play.
Where did that confidence come from? Was that something you always had, or did you have to learn that?
I think I always had it. Like, I always – so, talked about before, I was really close with my dad, and he had played in college, and I was just like, man, I'm gonna play in college. Like, I'm going to do it ever since I could remember.
Really?
Yeah.
I know I'm skipping ahead a little bit. With that always being your dream, and that always – you believing that was always going to be a reality – what has it meant to you that you've done this, that you have accomplished being able to play in college?
It's a dream come true, I guess, for maybe for lack of better words, but yeah, it's been incredible. The journey to get here and the whole being able to do it here at BYU has been incredible.
So let's fast forward to the end of your high school career. Now you're looking at where you're going to play college basketball. You actually turned down an offer from Coach Pope to play at Utah Valley, correct?
Yes.
So take me through your decision out of high school mm-hmm. as to where you were going to play. Because you had a little bit of a journey that brought you here, and we'll get to all that. But what was your thought process once you graduated and you were looking at schools?
Yeah. So Coach Pope and I talk about this sometimes. It's kind of funny now to like look back on it, right? But in the moment, it was pretty hard. So coming out of high school, I wasn't super, super heavily recruited. I think I had an offers from Utah Valley, from Weber State, from Southern Utah. And those were the only three offers that I had. Mm-hmm. So it came down to Utah Valley and Weber State. I went on my whole visit with Coach Pope and his staff, and they rolled out the red carpet. And I was going back and forth, right? Am I going to Utah Valley? It's close to home. Am I going to Weber? It's a little, you know, it's up in Ogden and, you know, whatever, Ogden. I ended up going to Weber State. Ended up choosing there. So I went on my mission, got back, and I went up to Weber State. And I was there for the summer that I got back, and then one semester in the fall. So like halfway through basketball season. And as I was up there and I was going through, you know, trying to get back into shape off my mission and trying to get back into this whole flow of basketball, I was like, man, I don't really love it up here. This is not what I thought it was going to be coming out of high school, right? So I was up there for one semester, and I thought that I might want to transfer, but I was like, hey, I don't want to burn a year, because this was before the rule where you could transfer and play immediately.
You'd have to sit out, yeah.
You had to sit a year. So I was like, I don't want to burn a year playing in, you know, two games or whatever. So I was like, I'm going to redshirt. So I redshirted, and I did half the year at Weber. And then at the semester break, I transferred. I was like, I'm going to get out of here. I need a fresh start, right? So I ended up going and talking to Coach Pope at Utah Valley. I was like, hey, it's been, what, 2.5, 3 years since we've had like a real conversation about this, but are you still willing to like have me back, right? And he was cool. He's like, yeah, let's, you know, we'll give you a shot. You can come back and play here at Utah Valley, but we don't have a scholarship for you right now. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll be a walk-on then for a semester or however long it was. So I went to Utah Valley for that semester. I was a walk-on. And at the end of that season, semester, he ended up leaving and coming here to BYU.
So what was that like? Because you obviously knew him before.
Mm-hmm.
You finally come around to coming back and like, okay, this is going to be a good fit for me. How did you react when Coach Pope and the staff then moved over here to BYU?
It was a blow for sure.
Yeah.
Because Coach Madsen came in. And at the time, I didn't know him. He didn't know me. And he's like, you know, he basically said that. He's like, I don't know who you are. You haven't played a college basketball game in 3 years or any basketball in 3 years. He's like, we're not going to give you a scholarship. So it was either – at that point, it was either stay on as a walk-on and hope that he would then give me a scholarship or go somewhere else, yeah. Right? So I was like, man, this is not really working out the way that I thought it was going to. In your head as a little kid, you're like, I'm not going to go to one school and then another school, and then coach isn't going to give me a scholarship, and then I'm going to have to go somewhere else. It's not really the plan. But thank goodness, Salt Lake Community College ended up calling me up, and they're like, hey, if you want to come here to the junior college ranks, we have a scholarship for you. You can come and play. It might be really good for you just to take a step back and just be able to play. No pressure.
Did before the Salt Lake Community College option presented itself and obviously turned out to be a fantastic option, you know, it was a springboard to where you are now. Did you ever, because you said this, things just weren't working out like I thought they were going to. Did you ever consider maybe this is not what I'm supposed to be doing? Maybe not playing basketball? Was that ever under consideration for you?
Not really. I mean, I think for a lot of people maybe that were surrounding me or that kind of had my ear, they're like, hey, is this something you want to do? Like, you are, you know, to be a walk-on right now at Utah Valley, you're waking up really early, you're going to shoot in the morning, you're going to class, you're going to practice, you're going to lift, then you're going home and you're driving like Uber and DoorDash to make money so you can like eat and pay for your school. Is this something that you really want to do? But I was like, man, I've had this goal for forever. Like, I know I want to do this. So to me, I guess it wasn't really a choice because I had already made that choice a long time ago.
How much of a faith building experience was all of this to go through for you?
It was a lot. It was a lot for sure. I think I've come to realize that, you know, when God gives you a dream or when you have a dream in your heart and then you set a goal and you incorporate God into that goal, right, he's not going to let you fail. He's going to be there with you. He's going to, you know, they talk about in the scriptures in 1 Nephi that he's going to prepare a way for you to accomplish it. And he did.
That's awesome. And it did. It worked out for you. Mm-hmm. You end up going to Salt Lake Community College, which, as I mentioned, was absolutely the right move for you. You had a really you did well with the Bruins, and then here comes BYU. How did BYU find its way into the picture for you?
So I was there at Salt Lake for the summer. And then in the fall, I actually ended up committing in the fall to BYU, so before the season even started. But that whole summer, we had a brand new head coach, right? It was his first year. And I remember he was recruiting a lot of different guys, and he didn't really know me either. So I was like, is this going to be another coach doesn't know me? And then I had a workout with him. And I think in this workout, he was like, hey, we're going to do a shooting drill. Like, this normally takes, you know, guys 6 minutes to complete the shooting drill. I think I did it in two. I made literally every shot. I don't think I missed one. And he was like, oh man, like this dude might be a player for us, right? So I ended up, I guess, earning some minutes and he ended up really liking me. And they do a really good job there at Salt Lake of like marketing their players. So he was on the phone with every school, right? And he was like, hey, this kid can shoot. This kid can play. Like, how do you guys feel about him? And he was calling up BYU every day. Every day. He was like, you guys need to recruit this kid. You guys need to offer him. And so they came down to, I guess, some games we were playing in Colorado, just like a exhibition showcase, whatever. And I balled out. It was the same deal. I think I seriously shot like 80% from three over like five games. It was crazy. And Coach Pope was like, yes, we're offering you. And that was really what did it for me.
And then you still had the season to play.
Yeah.
So with knowing that you were going to go to BYU, how did that affect that year at Salt Lake Community College? Was it sort of pressure-free, or was there more pressure because you had to live up to now, hey, I'm going to BYU in a year?
Yeah. I think for me it was kind of pressure-free because that journey leading up to it was like, there had been so many ups and downs where it was, hey, am I even going to get a chance to play in college? Am I even going to, you know, get an opportunity? And at Salt Lake, I did get an opportunity. I had played in a college game. And then that I now knew where I was going to BYU. It just felt like pressure-free, where I was just able to have a fun year and enjoy it. And it was great.
So after you and Coach Pope have been doing this dance for several years where he wants you to come to Utah Valley, you decide to go to Weber. Then when you go to Utah Valley, mm-hmm. he leaves for BYU. What was that banter like when he finally nails you down that you're both going to be there? It's at BYU. How often does that part of the conversation get brought up?
It gets brought up pretty often, actually. We laugh about it now. In the moment, it was hard.
Yeah.
But like looking back, it's pretty funny.
So how would you describe your BYU career to this point?
Magical. It's been incredible. I think for me, everything has just kind of come together for me to just be this incredible college basketball experience. Like I talked about earlier, I've been married or been dating my wife through the whole thing. So we've gone through all 4 years, I guess this is our fourth. So we both go through all 4 years together, which is really special for me. I have, didn't play the first couple games and kind of had to work my way into there to getting some minutes. And so I proved to myself that I could do that. And then I became a starter. And then I became an all-league player. And now finishing here in the Big 12
yeah.
is just like, what more could you ask for?
Well, and you've mentioned it there. Your journey has evolved at BYU, being a bench guy mm-hmm. and then being a starter. And you had injuries,
yeah.
significant injuries that you've had to deal with. It's when you look back at the journey of BYU, and again, you've got this year and a lot of hope for what mm-hmm. this season can be for you and this team. What has this journey at BYU meant to you?
I don't even know how to describe it. Are there words you can use? It has been better than what my little kid dream could ever have been. Right. And it's better in different ways. I've had a lot of ups and downs through the whole thing. But I've had my wife here. I've had people that have surrounded me and I've grown close with that I never imagined I would have relationships with. It springboarded me into, professional goals and things that I hope to do after basketball. And it's been incredible.
You, you're famous for a lot of reasons. One, you play basketball at BYU. People know who you are. But then, and I think you know where I'm going with this, in April of 2022, oh yeah, you know where I'm going with this, the president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, President Nelson, gave the talk, The Power of Spiritual Momentum, where yes. he mentions watching a basketball game in which a guard stole an inbound pass and made a shot at the halftime buzzer. Turns out this was the BYU versus Pacific game from a few months prior, and you were the one that made the steal and the score. As a member of the church, what was that moment like when the prophet is recalling a moment and he's recalling a moment with you?
It was crazy. It was crazy. We were sitting there watching it together. We were on our couch and I was kind of like laying down, this is the last talk I think of whatever, that session or that conference, I was kind of laying down. And as he proceeds to describe this story, I like start to sit up a little bit more. And as he's going, I'm like, I think I remember this play. What is this play? And then he gets to the very end. I jump up and I was like, fist pump. That was me. No way. And then my phone blew up. Just had so many people texting me and calling me about it. It was awesome.
Who, do you remember any of the responses that you got? Like from friends? Any specifics that you remember some of the reaction from that?
Oh man. I remember I called Alex Barcelo, and he's not a member.
Yep.
Right. So I called him. I was like, dude, you just got a shout out in General Conference. And he's like, what's General Conference?
I was like, Alex, oh, you're missing the point. This is huge.
Yeah. I was like, this is a big deal. Right. He was funny about it. Yeah. There were so many.
What was the next time you guys got together as a group? Did you hear it from your teammates about that at all?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
They were stoked. I mean, how often does that happen?
Not very often.
Never, right?
Yeah, that was really cool. That was one of the cool things. When I think in all BYU fans watching that, like we're doing the same thing you are. You obviously are closer, you know, more closely tied to it, but we're like, wait, what play is that? Oh, I remember that. Yeah. Oh my gosh, she's talking about Spencer Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we'll get to this season specifically, but you have graduated with your bachelor's degree. What are your plans now moving forward into this season and beyond? What do you want the future to be for you?
Man, a successful year here in the Big 12 for sure. First year, new conference, new teams to play, new challenges. So definitely as successful as we can be. Make it to March Madness. We did that my first year here, but since then we haven't gotten back. So that's going to be like, that would be the cherry on top to go out, you know, winning some games in March Madness. Got my degree, got my real estate license. So, you know, might look to pursue that. Look for some opportunity to hopefully, you know, play in Europe. Mm-hmm. Would be really cool. We'll just see where life goes.
This season, so much of it, as you've talked about, is being a part of the Big 12. And we know how impressive this conference is from top to bottom. How do you guys go into this season and not allow it to be so overwhelmingly daunting?
Mm-hmm.
What's ahead of you guys?
Just learning to take it one game or one practice at a time. Because when you have a challenge like that and you look at it in a big chunk, it can get overwhelming. So learning to break it up into small parts. We're going to have a great practice today. We're going to have a great practice tomorrow. We have a game on Friday. We're going to have a, you know, great game on Friday. When Friday comes, we're going to focus on that, and that's the only thing we're worried about.
How is the team looking, in your opinion?
Really good. Really good. Like I mentioned before, I feel like last year we had a really young team with a lot of new guys. And this year we've had a year playing together. We have had our European tour. We've spent a lot of time together just on the court, off the court, just like getting to know each other, getting closer. And personally, I think we're going to be a lot better than what people think we are. We're going to surprise people. It's going to be really fun.
Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it. You and I have done many interviews, mostly for pregame, so they're, you know, condensed interviews, about 4 or 5 minutes. But it's been really fun to have this more conversational chat today. Thanks for doing this. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This has been awesome.
Yeah, well, and good luck on the upcoming season. Congratulations and good luck to your wife on the little boy that will be here in the next couple of months. You guys are going to be fantastic parents, and so happy for you guys. So thanks for coming in today. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Jason.
All right. Thank you once again to my guest, Spencer Johnson. My name is Jason Shepherd. Ben Hall and Josh Bergstrom produced this episode. Deep Blue's senior producer is Cleon Wall. You can download and subscribe to Deep Blue on all podcast platforms or find all episodes on the BYU Radio app. Deep Blue is a production of BYU Radio.